Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Abdul Nasser Jengda and you're listening to the Qalam podcast. Qalam is an organization dedicated to making Islamic knowledge accessible for everyone. Alhamdulillah, the month of Ramadan is a very beautiful and powerful opportunity for learning and spiritual growth in the life of a Muslim. Therefore, Qalam has put together amazing resources for you and your family, your community to benefit from in the month of Ramadan, from a webinar on how to prepare to recitation of the entire Quran, the meaning and the message of the whole Quran, the du'as from the Quran, special webinars and events in regards to the Battle of Badr, the last 10 nights and Laylatul Qadr, and so much more. We're very excited and happy to bring you all of this Ramadan programming. Be a part of the good work that we are doing at Qalam, educating Muslims, educating people all around the world by going to supportqalam.com. Donate, contribute, give generously, and have your share in the Sadaqa Jariya and the amazing work that is going on. Supportqalam, QALAM.com. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah. Rabbi shrahli sadri wa yassirli amri wa hlul uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. Ameen. I'd like to welcome everyone to our daily du'as from the Quran series. Inshallah, before we get into the dua for the day, just a quick reminder about our sponsor for this series. This dua series is brought to you by Penny Appeal USA. Penny Appeal has been committed to fighting hunger and poverty and need all around the world since 2016. They've provided aid in the midst of emergencies, supported orphans, provided warm meals, helped giving medical assistance, provided clean water to families across the world, including places like Asia, the Middle East, Africa, and right here at home. Since then, Penny Appeal USA has helped over a million people and empowered communities around the world, helping to break the cycle of poverty and build brighter futures. This Ramadan, they will continue this effort with the support of people like you. Penny Appeal is also working on the current COVID crisis in India as well. So if you'd like more information how you can support them, support the work that they're doing, please go to pausa.org. Again, that's pausa.org. Inshallah, today we're going to be looking at another dua that is connected to the story of Musa alayhi salam in the Quran. Again, this is a dua that actually I recite at the beginning of every session. So it'll be nice to go through the meaning of it and kind of, you know, why you often hear people start different talks or some kind of speech with it. So before we jump in, let's look at a little bit of context. So again, the context here being that Musa alayhi salam has just been given this huge task. And that task is to go take the message of Allah to Fir'aun and the people of Fir'aun. And to give a little context, we have to go back a little bit looking at the life of Musa alayhi salam. So Musa alayhi salam, again, he was saved from Fir'aun as a baby, right? Fir'aun, you know, saw this premonition or this dream that, you know, there was going to be a child from the people of Bani Israel that was going to bring the message and going to overthrow him or whatever. He feared him. So he commanded that all the babies that were born be killed. And Musa Isam's mother, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inspired her to put Musa Isam in a basket and to send him into the river. And that would be a means of saving him. That was inspired to the mother of Musa alayhi salam by Allah. And as a result, Musa alayhi salam ends up in the house of Fir'aun. Musa alayhi salam ends up in his house and taken in by his family. And he grows up in the house of Fir'aun, which is kind of wild. He grows up in the house of the tyrant Fir'aun, the one he's going to later come back with the message of Allah and confront. So he grows up in the house of Fir'aun. Then, as we know, you know, some events take place and Musa alayhi salam has to run away. Right? Musa alayhi salam accidentally kills a man and then he runs away. And then he's away for quite some time. And again, the exact years aren't 100% clear, but we can say probably 5 to 10 years Musa alayhi salam is away. And then Now he has a family and he receives this message, right? And if you go back and read from the beginning of Surah Taha, you can get a little more insight. But he gets this message now, this task of being a prophet. And again, this is a huge task given to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not only is he given the task of being a prophet, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him certain miracles. And those miracles, again, there's numerous miracles, but just to name a few that are referenced right before these ayat. Number one is that his staff, whenever he throws it or casts it onto the ground, it turns into a snake. And when he grabs it, it returns back to being his staff or his walking stick. The second one being when Musa Isam puts his hand, you know, under his arm or kind of in his pocket and takes it out, it comes out shining bright for all to see, very clear and bright. And then finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after introducing himself to Musa al-Islam, giving him these miracles, then he says this ayah number 24, اِذْهَبْ إِلَىٰ فِرْعَوْنَ إِنَّهُ طَغَىٰ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Musa al-Islam, go to Pharaoh, for he has truly become a tyrant, for he has truly transgressed. And now Musa al-Islam is going to make dua. And again, as we think about the du'as, as we read through these du'as in the Quran, think about the fact that these are real people. This is a prophet of Allah. This is Musa alayhi salam, who's just been given this huge task. And first, let's talk about the task, right? The task is you've been chosen as a messenger by Allah. You've been asked to take this message to Fir'aun, who you know. You grew up in his household. You know the savagery of Fir'aun, really. I mean, he ordered thousands, or you know, hundreds to thousands of babies to be killed because of some premonition, right? So this is a tyrant. This is a terrible person. You've witnessed him in the household. You've seen how terrible he is. You've seen the actions that he does. And now you've been tasked to go and stand up in front of this person, and you've been tasked to deliver the message. So you can imagine Musa al-Islam is scared. And that's something that a lot of times, you know, when we read the lives of the prophets, you know, and we see some of the miracles they experience, we see the ultimate success that they experience, we forget that they're human beings that were tasked with this. And they were special chosen human beings by Allah, and they were supported by Allah. But again, they were human beings, so they felt human emotion just like you and I do. And earlier is mentioned as well, a few ayats before this, where Musa al-Islam, the first time he throws his staff down and it turns into a snake, he gets scared. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to comfort him and tell him, don't get scared. Prophets don't get scared in my company. You don't have to be scared. I'm with you, right? But still, again, very normal human reaction. So Musa al-Islam starts off this dua, and he says to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قَالَ رَبِّ اشْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي. So again, first starting off with that word Rabbi. Rabbi, which we've seen almost every dua in the Quran start with so far. And that is a call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, acknowledging Allah as your sustainer, acknowledging Allah as the one who is taking care of you. And that's really interesting. Thinking about it, whenever we say Rabbi or Rabbana in our du'as, it's important for us to think about the fact that not only is Allah our sustainer, but Allah is currently sustaining us, right? Allah is currently taking care of us at all times. That's just our reality. That's part of our belief system. And when we say Rabbi, we're also acknowledging the fact that Allah is taking care of us right now, and Allah has always taken care of us. Allah has always, you know, nurtured us. So that's when we say Rabbi, before we even ask for anything, it's an acknowledgement of all of that. And then the first thing he asked for is Ishrah li sadri. And here we're seeing it translated as lift up my heart. Literal translation would be expand for me or open for me my chest. And again, this is an expression that is pretty universal. It exists in, you know, many languages, but this idea of expanding your chest or making something easy or, you know, relieving the stress and anxiety. The opposite of this would be dhiqu sadr, or constricting of the chest, or tightness in the chest, that anxiety, that angst, that nervousness that you might be feeling. He's asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first and foremost, oh Allah, like this is a huge task. So that first human reaction that he's feeling of fear and tightness and anxiety and stress, first thing he asks for is, oh Allah, relieve that for me. Oh, release that anxiety, right? Release that stress. Oh Allah, like, don't let this be a burden on me. That's the first thing he asked for. The second thing he asks for, he says, وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي. And he says, oh Allah, make easy for me my task. Oh Allah, facilitate for me my task. Very interesting things here. Number one, he's acknowledging that this is now his job. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him, and we're seeing an acknowledgement and acceptance of that responsibility, of that role right away. He's not saying, oh Allah, facilitate for me your task. He's saying, this is mine now. You've assigned it to me. It's mine. I've taken responsibility for it. Oh Allah, I'm not wavering in this task. I'm not going to give it up, but I do need a lot of help. And where do I go to for help, oh Allah? I go to you. And that's what we're seeing. Musa alayhi salam asking for a bunch of help. He's going to ask for so many things, but there's no wavering in the responsibility or the task. He's embraced that wholeheartedly. But part of being a human is, I need help. I'm going to need certain things. So he says, oh Allah, facilitate for me my task. Make it easy for me. Because it's going to be a while. There's going to be a lot of preparation from now until facing Fir'aun. So oh Allah, from now till then, there's going to be a lot of help. There's going to be a lot of things. Oh Allah, facilitate all of that for me. Then he says, وَحْلُلْ عُقْدَةً مِنْ لِسَانِي. And again, the literal translation of this is, untie the knot from my tongue, or untie my tongue. Now, this refers to a few things. Number one, we can take it as a general expression that, oh Allah, allow me to speak clearly, allow me to speak in a way that is very clearly understood, where I don't, you know, fumble my words, but I speak in a way that someone else can hear and they can understand. Untie my tongue can be an expression of that. Another thing that we know about Musa alayhi salam is that Musa alayhi salam did have a stutter or something along those lines. And he's praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to untie and to facilitate and remove that inability of his, or remove that little problem or difficulty of his, which was some kind of stutter in his speech. And we learned this from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who references this stutter of Musa alayhi salam. But what's interesting is, a lot of times when we have these kinds of, you know, quirks, we want to get rid of them just because we don't like them. We want to get rid of them because, oh, people say things or someone might laugh. But Musa alayhi salam, he asked for Allah to untie his tongue. But then he says why. And he says, يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي. He says, so that people can understand my words. Oh Allah, I'm not just doing this for me. I don't just want to get rid of this. Oh Allah, I want to make sure I do right by your message. I want to make sure that this task, this responsibility, oh Allah, facilitate this or untie my tongue so that it's not an impediment for me in communicating your message, oh Allah. I'm not just doing it for me. It's not just a cosmetic thing, but I want to deliver your message perfectly, oh Allah. Then he says, وَجْعَلْ لِي وَزِيرًا مِّنْ أَهْلِي هَارُونَ أَخِي أُشْتُدْ بِهِ أَزْرِي. He says, and give me a helper, give me an assistant from my family, my brother Harun, and strengthen me by means of him. Assist me by means of him. Again, this is very interesting. We're seeing right away, Musa alayhi salam, he's taken full responsibility for his task, but we're also seeing here that there is no arrogance. There's no like arrogance. There's no on behalf of Musa alayhi salam. He's not scared of asking for help. A lot of times we're scared to ask for help because we don't want it to look like we're weak, or we don't want it to look like we're not able to do something. But we're seeing right away that doesn't exist for Musa alayhi salam. It's not about me, but oh Allah, I know from now that this is going to be a huge task, a huge undertaking, and I'm ready for it and I'm here for it, but I need help. And oh Allah, please provide me some help from my family and make it my brother Harun and make him a means of support for me. All right. And again, we're seeing that he's asking for help, and it's okay to also be specific in asking for help. He thinks his brother Harun would be a good help. He'd be good support for him. So he's asking Allah specifically for his brother Harun to share in this task. وَأَشْرِكُ فِي أَمْرِي, and let him share in my task. And now why? What's really beautiful is how he closes this dua. What was the reason for asking for all of these things? What was the reason for asking for a relief from the anxiety and the stress of the task, opening of the chest, to ask Allah to facilitate matters, to make this whole task easy? Asking Allah to untie the knot from his tongue, asking Allah for assistance in the form of his brother to share in this task as well. why. None of it is for him. Musa Islam is clarifying at the end of this dua, O Allah, this isn't just for me, this isn't some kind of personal gain, it's for you, O Allah. كَيْ نُسَبِّحَكَ كَثِيرًا وَنَذْكُرَكَ كَثِيرًا. All of these things that I'm asking you, O Allah, is so that we can glorify you a lot and so that we can remember you a lot. It's so beautiful. It reminds us what is the objective, or reminds us how we interact with the blessings of Allah. When we're praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we're making dua, ultimately we're asking for Allah's favors and blessings, right? Whatever it is, whatever you're asking for, that thing, ultimately, if you look at it, if you zoom out a little, it's a blessing of Allah, it's a favor of Allah. And if Allah grants it to you, Musa alayhi salam is saying, oh Allah, if you grant it to me, then I can glorify you, and I can praise you, and I can remember you, O Allah. I can even do right by these blessings that I'm asking you for. إِنَّكَ كُنْتَ بِنَا بَصِيرًا. You have always been watchful over us. It's always interesting to see which names of Allah are used in different du'as. What quality of Allah are you calling upon as you make du'a to Allah for specific things? And here, Musa Islam, after asking for all of these things, and specifically, remember, all of this is in the light of this huge task of going to Fir'aun and giving Fir'aun the message and asking him to, release the Bani Israel. All of that, he's saying, إِنَّكَ كُنْتَ بِنَا بَصِيرًا. Oh Allah, you have always been watchful over us. You've always taken care of us. You've always taken care of everything. So I'm confident, oh Allah, that you're going to take care of this as well, that you're going to facilitate all of this as well, that this huge task that you've given me, oh Allah, you're going to make this easy for me as well, and you're going to be there watching over me throughout all of this as well. So again, this was the dua from Surah Taha, dua of Musa Islam that we often do here at the beginning of speeches. I always say it, I've made it a habit to say it at the beginning. I try my best to be mindful in my expression of it and think about what are those very specific things that we're asking for. And again, just to summarize, we're asking for opening of the chest, release any stress or nervousness that comes with presenting or speaking, sharing the words of Allah or speaking on the words of Allah. Number two, you're asking Allah to facilitate matters. This is a beautiful thing you can start incorporating into your dua, that we're always asking for specific things, and sometimes, you know, just make dua to Allah to facilitate things, to make things easy for you, right? Make your matters easy, whatever that looks like, because it's also an acknowledgement of the fact that you don't know all the hurdles you're going to run into, but oh Allah, facilitate all of them, right? You're aware of them, oh Allah, so please facilitate all of them. And then we're seeing that there's no problem in asking for help and asking for specific help as well from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to benefit from this. Pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to take advantage of the remaining days of the month of Ramadan. Pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts all of our acts of worship during this month. Please join us again tomorrow. This is a daily series at the same time. Again, this series is brought to you by Penny Appeal USA. Please check out the work that they're doing at pausa.org, and please consider them as one of the organizations that you are supporting in this blessed month of Ramadan. Jazakumullah khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.